All right, welcome everybody to the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. I'm R. Paul Martin, and I'm the treasurer of the WBAI Local Station Board, and God, there are people on here. Oh, well. I get to look at a thing here that says who's on, and there are more people than I thought. And anyway, we're gonna go through our usual stuff here. Now, nobody has to identify themselves if they want to be on here. Nobody has to identify themselves. However, if you want to sort of sign in so that maybe you can get membership in the future, you can, and you're not a member now, would you please announce your name and tell us you're here?
Oh, we're here.
Who's that? Don't make out what that was. Is Pat Logan here? Guess not. All right. So, the first order of business we have to do is we have to pass an agenda. And so...
Am I muted?
So I'm going to... Matt, was that you?
Oh, that is Matt.
Yes,
yeah, that's me.
I thought that was Matt. Okay. Wait a second, Matt. Let me go over to here and put you as present. Okay. Getting back to that. All right, so I move to adopt the following agenda. 1, call to order, 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda, 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. 4, excused absences, 5 minutes. 5, treasurer's report, 20 minutes. 6, general manager's report on WBAI's finances, 30 minutes. 7, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 8, start working on the WBAI FY21 budget, 60 minutes. 9, new business, 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, so that's the proposed agenda. Any debate or amendments on that agenda? It was sent to the committee, I don't know, hours ago.
Yeah, can you give the time of that? I want to try to find it. Yes, and also, can you take attendance for the record? You said you were just checking before, so I didn't make.
Yeah, I'll do it again in a second. Let me go back here and answer your question. When did I send out the agenda? 11:17 this morning. All right, so
I'm sorry. Our poll.
Yeah.
This is Noel. I don't know if you're aware of it. I just got on, but over the last half hour, the message that has been going out to anyone who called was that the customer's account was at full capacity. Please try again later.
I know. I got it.
Oh.
Other people got it. I called Otis, and apparently I think that may have fixed it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just so you know.
I couldn't get on, but I was able to later.
Yeah, that's what happened. I don't know when other people got on, but in any event, I called Otis and it's fixed now. I hope that doesn't happen in the future. In any event, so, okay, answer up when you hear your name. William Heerwagon.
Yeah, present.
Noel Jameson, you just spoke. Arpel Martin here. Matt Mazza, you just spoke. Bertold Reimers.
Yeah.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Okay, all the committee members are here. I will ask again if Pat Logan is here, because she is... She's looking. She may want to become a member, but I don't hear her here right now. So we'll move on with everything. All right. So we're on the agenda. Does anybody need to debate it or to amend it or anything like that? Hearing none of that,
yes.
Is there any... Hello?
Yeah, I have an amendment. Under new business, there's no time. So I have a question, really. There's no time. How much time is normally there, or is there normally something there?
Well, new business is the last thing, so it goes to the end of the meeting.
Okay. In that case, because we're starting late, and it's already 7:35, and I haven't done the total, but we have 110. I would ask that we set the adjournment time for 10 p.m. We can always end earlier.
All right. Everybody, it's going to take a few seconds for things here sometimes because I got to write this down, and I have to type it in. So hold on a second. Okay, so there's an amendment on the floor to make the adjournment time 10 p.m. Is there any debate on this? Hearing no debate on this. Is there any objection to making... Is there any objection to making the adjournment time 10 p.m.? Hearing none, adjournment time will now be 10 p.m. Okay, is there any other debate or any other amendments for the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, pass without objection. Amended. All right. Okay, so our first thing here
point of information.
Yeah? Yes?
What is the way that people can mute themselves on Maestro?
I think it's #6.
Okay. I see someone has a cough, so we don't have to share it with them for the whole meeting. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Let's see, getting back to here. Okay, so the first thing we're doing now is timekeeper. Who would like to be the timekeeper?
Be the timekeeper.
That's Jeffrey?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being timekeeper? Okay, hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is now the timekeeper. Okay, the next thing is... Okay, the entire committee is here, so although we've put excused absences on there, we're going to go right past that.
Am I recognized?
Okay, who's this?
This is James.
James, yes? What is it?
I just wanted you to know, I just spoke to Pat Logan. She was having the same trouble that Noel and others have had. She is trying to get on the call, but she's getting that same message.
Okay, is she still getting it? If you spoke to her, tell her to keep trying because we're getting on now.
That's what I told her.
Why don't you just three-way her? Agerton?
That's the thought. I'll try that.
Okay. The next thing...
Hello, Pat is now on.
Oh,
okay,
good for
Pat
you.
Logan. Yeah. Pat Logan is here. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me write that down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, yes, Pat, we had a problem. I don't know what the problem was, but it's over.
Okay.
So the next thing here is a treasurer's report, and that's what I will give now. And... Boy, paper is so much easier to manage for this type of thing. But
our problem.
But maybe that's my age. Somebody call my name there?
Yeah, I did, because since I don't have a something in front of me, can you, when you start a particular item, can we tell me how much time? I don't have anything in front of me, so I have to look.
Okay. Treasurer's report, 20 minutes, and I had started it a minute ago, but I'm going to start it now instead, okay?
Okay, fine. Let me get back to where I was.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me go. At the June 23rd, 2020 NFC meeting, we were told that Pacifica has been awarded about $1.2 million in a Paycheck Protection Program loan. That's the PPP loan, as they like to call it, and that's from the government over the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is a plan that pays the salaries of workers so they don't get laid off during the lockdown. We were told that Pacifica already has the money, and Pacifica management would be doling it out to the stations. So that's money in the bank. Pacifica has to refrain from laying staff off for a few months, and if they do that, much of the loan will be forgiven. Some of the money can be used for other expenses, but a minimum of 60% of this PPP loan must be used for payroll, and that's the amount of the loan that will be forgiven if Pacifica meets the other criteria. This is going to help all of Pacifica a lot, as the money that would otherwise have been used for payroll can now be used for paying central services fees and other expenses. And apparently some amount of the PPP money can also be used to pay interest on debt, which is probably going to be helpful since Pacifica has the loan interest to pay off, and that's about $70,000 per quarter. And, yeah, so that could be helpful. It will also help to pay some of the money owed to NETA for doing the accounting. So that's good, too, because NETA has, you know, been close to $200,000 into us for a while here, and some of that's getting paid back, so that's a good thing. At the June 23rd NFC meeting, the interim CFO talked about setting up templates for the FY21 budget, and she said that Pacifica needs to review its chart of accounts and probably standardize it, which was a little surprising to me because I thought we had standardized those years ago. Apparently, the chart of accounts, from what she says, is not standard at every station. So when it went from being standard at every station to there being different charts of accounts at different stations, I don't know when that happened or how that happened. And last night, we had an NFC meeting. That's July 14th. And we were told that the PNB Audit Committee was meeting last night to go over the final version of the FY18 audit. As of 5:30 this afternoon, it hasn't been posted to the Pacifica website yet. Pacifica needed to have the FY19 audit posted by June 30th. It didn't happen, and since that didn't happen, Pacifica will not qualify for the next round of CPB Community Service Grants. Pacifica has been thrown out of the CPB, of course, so we have to hope that things could be gotten together better next year so that we can get the FY20 audit done on time and see if we can get back into the CPB. This also is the issue of the music stuff. For those of you who don't know, radio stations are supposed to pay for every time a piece of music is played on the air. Because BAI is a not-for-profit and all of that, we are covered by the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so by doing that, we don't have to pay a pile of money to have that fee paid. And since we don't have it now, what I'm seeing is Pacifica is saying they're going to cover it. They're going to do it. I don't know that Pacifica has the clerical capacity to do this, but apparently they're going to try. It has been suggested that the NFCB may be able to help, or something, some other entity that helps nonprofit radio stations may be able to help with that. But I don't know. The last I saw, Pacifica was supposedly going to try and go it alone. I don't know how that's going to work, because if you get hit with a serious bona fide copyright violation, it gets extraordinarily expensive. So, pardon me. Let's see. So, there's some bad news. The PPP loan is good news. $1.2 million. That's good. The missing the FY19 audit. That's bad news. And it's the FY18 audit, let me emphasize, that is about to get posted. So the FY19 audit, they should be starting to work on that. And I guess they will get the engagement letter. When we had the chair of the audit committee on, the NFC, a couple of months ago, she was very optimistic that the auditors would sign another engagement letter and agree to do the FY19 audit. So there you go. I don't know what the update is on that. Maybe we'll get one. Let's see. I've heard that the interim executive director is scraping together money to pay the $137,506 that's owed to the CPB. And if it hasn't been paid off by now, it's probably going to be paid off soon. Maybe somebody else in the call knows more about that. At last night's NFC meeting, the big thing was that the NFC has approved a timeline for the FY21 budget. I've sent that out to everyone, and we should probably start working on it tonight. There is also an issue of the of something passed by the by. See, where is it here? Okay. The PNB has passed a motion that says all units, excluding the national office, should provide a plan within 1 week, that was a couple of weeks ago, to the NFC, the PNB, the management team, and the IED that balances expenses and revenues if the units in the preceding 6 months have had expenses that exceeded revenues. And so they are saying the treasurers are requested to remind their respective general managers of the need to submit those plans immediately. So, Berthold, I've just told you that, but I suspect you already knew that. All right, that is the treasurer's report right there. Are there any questions?
Paul, this is James.
Okay, Sagard. I heard Sagard in first. Who's after that?
And Berthold.
Okay, so Sagard in, Berthold. All right, James, go ahead.
You asked if anybody had information about the $137,000 that was owed to the CPB, and it is my understanding that that was paid. Mm-hmm. The hat was passed among governance people for contributions, and I don't know what the total was on that, but I think the balance was paid with PPP money.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, 60-40.
Okay. All right, that's great. Anything else? James?
Yes, Berthold.
Oh, no, that was it for me.
That
Thank
was
you.
It. Okay, Berthold, go ahead.
I'm having some issues with the chart of accounts thing. I remember very clearly the previous auditors that left Pacifica and WBI because they felt it was such a mess that they, after they did the last audit two audits ago, they created a uniform chart of account for the entire network. Actually, I remember that very clearly because I had to spend like 4 months redoing my entire QuickBook based on what they demanded, and then re-entering stuff one by one into the system so that I could be compliant to the auditor's request for a uniform specific chart of accounts.
So you're saying, okay, hold on. So Bertold, you're saying that, okay, what, is somebody saying something?
No.
I hear very faintly a voice. I don't know.
Sorry, Paul. I was just talking to my wife. I apologize.
Jeffrey, is that you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're, okay.
I apologize.
It was accidental. That's fine. All right, so Bertold, you're saying that the chart of accounts was done years ago, and you think it was uniform for everybody then, and you haven't heard about a new one now, right? Or
yeah,
since then.
I don't think. I knew it was.
Right.
I was
so what I'm saying is the interim CFO, Anita Sims of NETA, is saying we need one. Which leads me to believe we don't have one. I can't look it up right now and see if she specifically said we don't have one, but if she's saying we need to establish one, I should think that would mean that. Anyway, all right. Now we have a little mystery. I will make a note of that, and I'll bring that up. All right?
James,
it's actually frustrating because there's a lot of work put into this. A lot of thought back then, and then they, I don't know, whoever dropped this, just dropped this. I think they instituted this throughout the whole network. I knew that for sure when they were doing the audit and they made the recommendations.
Okay.
And they, yeah.
All right, yeah, I will bring this up because, gee whiz. Okay, James, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't know if the new chart of accounts and the new template that they want to use. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't distributed it, as far as I know. I don't know if it's different from the one that Bertold did, but as we know, and as in conversations with our interim CFO, Anita Sims from NETA, I understand that WBAI and WPFW are the most compliant stations when it comes to doing what our auditors and our accountants ask us to do in that regard, and I believe that it's, I know that it's some of the other stations that have not complied, and again, I believe that WBAI is in compliance, and it's others that are not, and I don't think they ever complied.
Yeah, part of that issue is that WBAI and WPFW don't have business managers. So we just send everything to NETA and they do it, so we're more compliant because we have nobody between us and NETA. So there's that.
That's right. In addition to that, we're using Mass 500.
Yeah.
Can we use the stack?
Okay, Roberts, go ahead.
Okay, so the problem comes up when we try to compare what stations are spending compared to what they're making, because there are differences in how people classify things. So there are certain expenses that some people put into development, for example, that other people are putting into programming. Hence the need to have a consistent rule that everyone observes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
That's accurate. And then that also helps for the consolidated budget for the foundation, makes it easier.
Yes, it makes it so we have apples in one place and the oranges in another place instead of mixed, which I know that at points in time has happened where we've seen that different places do things a bit differently. Maybe with NETA for this fiscal year, they're going to maybe make things happen consistently instead of some of the other stuff we've seen. Of course, a part of this is going to be getting the radio stations to all cooperate with NETA, which is another issue. Okay, anything else on the treasurer's report?
Yeah, this is James again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say on that point that was just made, it's also true that when donors look at an organization to see, you know, for example, if it's a charity that's, I'm trying to think of an example, you know, trying to buy land to save wilderness, and donors like to see that 90% of their money goes to buy the land rather, and 10% goes to administration rather than the other way around. So when we have a uniform chart of accounts and we have, you know, we're using budget templates, it allows us to get those numbers more accurately. And as we know from our last effort at budgeting, a lot of our stuff was in the wrong categories. And so that helps us to attract donors as well. Thank you.
Yes, that can. All right. Anybody else have anything more on the treasurer's report?
I have a question. I think you said that the CPB money had not been paid. I heard a report that it may not have been paid on time or whatever. I have a report that indicates that it has been paid in full. I heard that on some PNB meeting.
Well, James Sagerton just reported that it's been paid and that they took up collections and got it done. So
No. I'm sorry, I didn't, I'm so, go ahead, I'm sorry, I apologize for interrupting.
All right, didn't you say that they'd gotten the CPB paid off?
Yeah, you're saying I couldn't clearly hear what you were saying. You're saying CPB, yes, that was paid off. It was paid off partially by passing the hat among members of governance, and I don't think they got $137,000 doing that. And then the rest of it was paid off, I believe, using the PPP money, the 40% that we're allowed to use for other purposes.
Okay.
I think that's also how they paid Meta.
Okay. So actually, the ICFO is an employee, so there they go. That's payment, I think. And I don't know exactly how they're putting it on the books, but I know that the ICFO is paid for, and I think they probably could use the PPP money very validly for that. All right. So is there anything else for the treasurer's report? Okay. Hearing nothing else, the next agenda item is general manager's report on WBAI's finances. Bertold?
Hi. How you doing?
Is that for 30 minutes? Paul?
Yes.
That is 30 minutes.
Okay, I just want to make sure they want to speak. Okay, thank you.
All right, it will be very fast. So we have $21,899.27 in the bank. James Fogerton initiated a meeting with me at NECA to iron out a few things. They wanted to address some going concerns, you know, like, you know, you have audit, you have going concerns. And one of them was that NEDA was not really getting, or the National Office in general was not getting all the invoices from WBAI on a timely basis. I mean, we have them, you know, in QuickBooks and then filed, but for them to receive it earlier and in time so that, you know, I mean, I'm functioning on a cash basis. Literally, I just function on an accrual basis so that they can project cash flow and all that stuff. So we, I usually give NEDA access to our bank account, but, you know, every month their access terms, so we had to renew that. So we figured out a way for me to give them their own login and password, so therefore they can go into our bank account to look without having to go through me anymore. So that's taken care of completely. And, you know, because of the COVID-19, I don't go to the office that often. And when I go there, I usually go to really work a lot on premiums. So, you know, there has been a little negligence of printing bills, scanning them, and sending them to NEDA. Since, like, I don't know, March 20. I'm trying to address that a little better. But they will never, they will not be on time because obviously I'm not in the office that often. So that's for that. The office sent a check of $78,000 and change to Fort Times Square. That is instead of the letter of credit.
Bertold, you're disappearing and static.
Can you hear me now? I'm putting in my ears. Is that
better? Yes. Yeah, this is
okay.
Better.
So instead of you know, like they want a letter of credit, they don't want the money. So, but the money went into the lockbox. So they're going to wait until we get a letter of credit, and they're going to reimburse us that money. I personally feel it's better to have the letter of credit. We can invest the money into some safe fixed account and generate cash, and then that would be the security or the, you know, letter of credit which we give them. So that is work in progress. WBI monthly expenses is set at about $116,197.08. That came from NETA's the meeting with NETA. You know, they had mentioned to me, to Jim Sargerton, that they wanted to have a better understanding and handle of, you know, the bills or the cash flow. So I just went into QuickBooks and run a list of vendors and stuff like that. And I have a file that I generated that gives you the list of the vendors that for which we have monthly and bi-monthly and quarterly payments. So the quarterly, I divided it into three, and I was able to give you, you know, how many, about what our monthly bills is, and our monthly bill is $116,197.08. Now, our average monthly expenses are $124. So, as you can see, we have a lot of miscellaneous stuff that come out that we pay all, every month that are not monthly, like premiums and things of that sort that adds up to about $8,000 a month. So that's that. Then going into accounts payable aging, we are now at, for the accounts payable, we are now at, we have about 16,000, wait a minute. We are about, we're at about $795,000 of outstanding payables from like 2016 or 2015. I don't remember. I think it's 2016. Our current payable is outstanding payable. Short term payable is about $27,000. You know, a part of that is the call center. A big part of that is the call center. More than half, and Gary Knowles outstanding, and the CPB money. Then midterm payable is about $109,000. So that comes from payroll expenses and healthcare bill back that we haven't paid way back the past 2 years. $46,000 payroll and $61,000 healthcare, and then our long-term payable is about $667,000. Accrued pension. I don't really know what that is yet. I need to talk to NEDA about what is really our accrued pension, if we have one, or if they're paying it, or if they're accruing it to our payroll. That was the number that was given to me by Sam Agrawal. Then Pacific Regional Archives, we owe $184,000, and the National Office, Central Service, $411,000. So that all adds up to $795,000. So that is for that is. Am I going too fast? Is that too detailed? No.
That was $799 or $795.
$790. How many sheets open? $795.03364. This is all of the documents that I sent to the $795.03364. Then, our profit and loss as of. Profit and loss as of June 15, well, actually June 14, July 14, 2020, is, as far as I'm concerned, minus 127 to 54. That is over 9.5 months. So we are averaging a deficit of 13,395.22 per month. Okay, you got that? That is including, though, two payroll covered by the national office with the PPP and one health benefit. Well, that's still good because that would have been 43,000 and change, and then so we would still be at. If there was no PPP, we would be at 170. Okay, 170 divided by 9.5. So we would have been running 17,000 a month deficit, 18,000 a month deficit, really. Okay, so that's that for the numbers. What else? Budget. We're going to discuss that later. But what you need to know is we are testing a new model. Our budget assumptions is 25 days per month of fundraising, $4,000 per day at 3 to 4 hours per day. So instead of having, 31 days, which is never 31, it's always 35, 36 or more fundraising, which is February, May, July, October, and December. We have it regularly, and instead of having 10 hours a day, we'll have 3 to 4 hours a day. So we'll be able to control the flow. We'll be able to not let listeners drop off by having only 1 hour here and then a couple of hours of programming and then another hour. Some days we might have only 2 hours, some days we might have 5, depending on how it's spread out. Linda and I have already worked on a 52-week schedule and programming. Fundraising is being revised right now, but producers have been complaining a little bit lately about the schedule we give them is within a week. A week before their preemption, and they were right about that. It was just the circumstances. This is a model we've been experimenting with, because after the coup, we had no choice. We were totally taken off course. Our October drive led into our December drive, so we had to change directions. We had to do different things, and that kind of seems to be working for us, because apparently at the National Finance Committee they mentioned that our revenue has increased. Us and KPFL are the only two stations in the network whose revenue has increased this past couple of months. But I am still reviewing and going over fund drive days, we're putting a lot of energy into. Every day now we are plugging the numbers in. We're plugging how many hours we put, if it's prime time or off hours, and then looking at the results so that we can start understanding this new model we're doing. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to what we did before. But I think this is better for us right now, especially in the age of COVID. So I believe that is my report. Premium is challenging, but we have Matt in here who can attest to what we've been doing. We've been processing premium. We have 150 African History Pack, Tony Bay's African History Pack, that is being packed and shipped. We had shipped another 70 before that. We have a lot of natural medicines. It's too open, and for some reason are making a lot of money. All these things are being packed. We have packed most of the Kristen Blasdale premium and shipped those out.
Yeah, we know premium. There's one last batch. Another batch we're picking up. I'm picking up probably tomorrow or Friday from Gary Noll office and picking to the station. So we are processing premiums. Not as efficiently as we would, but somewhat efficient. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah,
William.
All right.
Question.
Before we go anywhere else, let me see. Okay, so you were a bit behind, you said, you had been behind on getting the scans into NETA for a bit there?
Yeah. Basically, what this is the way.
Yes is a good enough answer. But now it's okay right?
Yeah, it's a work in progress because of the COVID. What happens is we get the bills. And the bills, if I'm at the station, WBI, we have streamlined a lot of things. We get a lot of things by email. We get a lot of things. We go online to the accounts. Some of them are automatically paid. So we have a lot of things streamlined. So I need to be at the station to print those bills, even though we don't receive them physically, to print them, and so that I can put them to the scanner to send to NETA. And so, as you can imagine, if I'm there once a week or twice a week, some weeks and once a week, other weeks, or not there at all for other weeks, it's very difficult to do that. And especially when I go there, I don't focus on printing bills to send to NETA. I focus on processing as many premium and leaving them for Matt to ship. So that's why we they mentioned that during the COVID crisis that we fell a little behind, more than usual. So tomorrow I'll clear that up. And that is why also I generated that list of that I was mentioning before of vendors that are, monthly vendors. Like, these are the monthly costs, regularly, you can Adobe 3265, Amazon Web Service, like 355, 40. These are regular bills. Even if they accrue them by a few extra dollars, these are regular bills. Bill is 116, so they can accrue that. And then the thing that are problematic for them are the miscellaneous. Like, you have a consultant and ops people call sick or take the day off. You have consultants you pay to cover that. A premium, different premium bills coming through. That kind of stuff, or ordering water bottles for the office. These are those little things. They get them after the fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that. You were mentioning something about there was some noise while you were talking, and I think I missed some of it. Something about the $70,000 check to four Times Square and a letter of credit. Could you clarify that a bit?
At Four Times Square, we were supposed to send them a letter of credit a while back. Okay, it was for the $12,000 times 6 months. So we were supposed to send them, $72,000, as a letter of credit. Then what happened is, this thing never was processed. National office dragged their feet, under those previous administrations, whatever they did. They gave us like a whole year and a half to get act together to put that money towards, to write that letter of credit. So we never did. And it's been a struggle the past year and a half between Lydia, myself, and Arthur. Reassuring them that we're going to get them that letter of credit. Letter of credit is difficult. You have to have the money somewhere. Plus, most banks charge so many fees and interest and all that stuff for them to just manage your account for a letter of credit. So then finally, Lydia, was waiting for the PPP desperately. So then she got the PPP, and then she dedicated that money, $78,000,
because there's a 72,000 increase, you know, because by the year, you know, because our 12,000 basic fee has gone up. So therefore, because we never give the money on time, you know, the letter of credit amount went up to about 78,000. So now Lydia, the national office and Lydia, they sent that money to Fort Times Square, and they cashed it. It went to their PO box, whatever, their PO box. But they don't want a letter of, they don't want the money. They want a letter of credit because they don't want to manage our money and keep the money. So we are working on that right now.
Okay, so you're working on getting a letter of credit that you can hand over to Fort Times Square, basically as a security, I guess, right?
Yes, as a security.
Okay.
They don't want the $78,000 security. They want a letter of credit. So they're going to give us our money back, and then we're going to generate them a letter of credit.
Okay, why has it gone up? Have the fees at Fort Times Square gone up?
The basic fee of $12,000 a month per year goes up, yeah.
Okay, what is the current monthly fee at Fort Times Square?
The current monthly fee at Fort Times Square, you're lucky that I'm a computer and I have it open, is... the foundation latest bill 7/1/2020 is $12,730.80.
Okay, so that's the current monthly.
Yeah.
And that's a bit higher than it had been when we started with Fort Times Square?
We started at 12,000.
All right, so it's 7/30/80 higher. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so NETA now has the ability to just look at our bank, and they will be able to deal with what our cash is that way, right?
Yes, they always do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just that their login and password would expire and have issues and stuff like that. So we figured out a way to do it, make it permanently, and give them their own login and password so they don't have to go through
it. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I think I heard Hearwagon. Hearwagon?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Bertolt, if I'm understanding correctly, we're BAI is about $13,000 a month short, meaning we bringing in that much less than we have to spend. I know I don't have a plan. Does this committee have a plan, or does the LSB have a plan where we're going to try to raise more money?
To tell you the truth, my goal, I would write a plan, for me, that, you know, this, I have plans. I have some various plans. The gist of it is what plan will work. I mean, we have been aggressively pushing the BAI buddy. So we have increased revenue to BAI buddy to sustain our membership. It's at 18,000 right now. And then we want to continue to increase that. Now, how is that going to work and how fast is that going to work? I cannot tell you, but I can tell you that it has increased, and then it has stayed up. It has stayed up, you know, the BI buddy. And so that's part of my plan. The second part of the plan is, we're at 18,000 right now. In October, during the coup, in the midst of the coup, it was at 10,000. So we have
question.
We have experienced an increase of what? We have experienced an increase of tremendous increase of 77% since the October coup.
When you say 18,000 a month, you're talking about a total of $18,000 a month from
a month. Yes, from 1,124. I'm sorry. Yes, $18,028.45 as
per
of
month.
Me. Yes.
Okay. And we're trying to make that go higher. That's a good plan. Thank you.
Yeah. The idea is if we could really, nurture the BI buddies and have everyone bring in two people. Like if you could, each buddy can reach out to two of their friends. So, you know, the number would triple overnight. You know, so that's like that's part of the goal. The other part of the goal is to try to get the producers to continuously, regularly, every show, to pitch a buddy. You know, and then the new plan we have with the 52 weeks of fundraising, a lot of people are not preempted. Like a show would be the most preempted every 4 weeks, once every 4 weeks or once every 6 weeks. And so they'll have a chance to build an audience. So we've been trying to, stagger the preemption and the numbers so that people are, you would not see a preemption every 2 weeks. Or every 3 weeks, anywhere.
Thank you.
Hello? Yeah, okay.
Okay, anybody else have any questions for the general manager?
Yes, Paul, it's Noel.
Okay, Noel, go ahead.
I just have a quick question regarding, I missed the reoccurring monthly payable that was presented. I got an email, it was dated Tuesday, July 14th. And it shows the vendor, the bill, the category, frequency, and then it says total, and then it says monthly. What am I missing? Because I'm not seeing.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going with that question. Before you even say anything, I'll explain it. That's the total. I should have put a caveat here. That's the total for the fiscal year. So this is from October 2019 to July 14, 2020. So it's 9.5 months. So that's why, if you look at the total and the monthly, it may not make sense. But the monthly is really the total divided by about 9.5 plus or minus.
Okay. Well, can we just go through one example so I can better understand?
Yeah.
Four Times Square. It says bill, rent, monthly. The total is $52,080.25.
You're saying $152,000.
Right. It's $152,000. Yes. That's for the fiscal year, you're saying, from October to July? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're anticipating, what does the $15,000 per month mean?
It's about $15,000 per month, 15 plus or minus.
Okay, so it's not an exact thing. Because when you go down
for that specific number, you really should divide it by 10 because it's 10 months, really. It's not 9.5 months. So if you divide that number by 10, you would see that, your monthly bill here is about $15,200 average, 152 divided by 10, $52 by 10.
So it's 10 months. Okay. And
it's 10 months, more or less, And then some of those bills, I just looked at the statement, the monthly statement, and I just plugged them in,
So when William asked about the plan for resolving the loss, what was left out of the loss was the accounts payable aging summary. Is there a plan to address both, in addition to the loss, which you described, the BA Buddy program expanding, What's the plan for reducing the 820,000 in accounts payable?
Okay, so let's go back into that again. The 820,000 payable. So my objective would be to have them, you know, write off some of that money. You know, like most of the money from, well, first of all, the accrued pension, we're not sure what that is. So we need to find out what that is. The Pacifica National Office and then Pacific Radio Archives, I would want them to, you know, like take a big bath. You know, once we break even 3 months in a row, then I can make that argument. Now we're not breaking even 3 months in a row. We're not even breaking even at all. We need to get shave off that $13,000 a month or more. If we shave off that $30,000 a month, that means we are paying the National Office regularly the essential services going forward. So we need to shave off that $13,000.
Right, because basically, if you took the $600,000 to Pacifica National, the roughly $600,000 out, you've got your $220,000. I thought there were legal or regulatory ramifications for not meeting the pension liability. I think that would be also true for payroll.
Time.
Oh no. Okay. So, roll back a bit. You know, I have that whole spreadsheet that I can send to you. This was. At one point of, you know, for 2-3 months in 2018, early 2019, in October of 2018, you know, like the new fiscal year, around that time, that's when we have a lot of problems. We had some difficulty making the payroll. And I can go back and show you exactly which months those were. And
oh,
so
no,
that's
no.
What that was.
My thing is that it's $200,000. All I'm asking really is those items, health care, pension, and payroll,
ramifications
beyond us.
Yeah, the health care and payroll, Pacifica had covered those. The accrued pension. That's a mystery. I mean, you know, I've talked about that. This was a calculation by Sam Agarwal, and we do not know. We need to know. I'd like to ask Paul Martin and Jim Sorbiton to find out if they are accruing the pension and including them in the payroll so that, you know, in the payroll payment that we're making on the bi-monthly basis to the national office, or if because there was some problem calculating the pension or accruing the pension and keeping up with the pension before Lydia and them came into the fray, so we're not sure what that is, where they are.
So it's possible that these numbers could be substantially higher
for the pension. Yes, not the payroll, the pension, the 61,614 pension.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just from the CFO. I have no idea what, you know, he gave it to me. I got an email, sent it to the whole fire station managers, so I accrued it. But there was never any request for that money from the national office. There was never any follow-up to confirm or deny if that is something that's real or if the national office is making provision and including it in the monthly or bi-monthly payroll bills they send to WBAI.
Okay,
we've hit time, so
I'm going to make a motion right now to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
This is Serene. I don't know how many people are on the stack, but I have two questions.
Okay,
so who else
well,
is on?
I've made a motion to extend by 10 minutes. Is
right,
there
but
any
if there
objection
are three
to
people,
that?
If there are three people on the staff, that won't be sufficient. That's why I'm asking.
We don't have a stack right now.
Right.
Right now it's you. I have another question or two here. And so do you want to make it a higher number?
Not if you have one question.
I don't know how, okay.
This is James. May I be recognized?
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to amend to make it at least 15 minutes because I have some questions too.
All right, why don't we make this? Why don't we just go back and make it 15 minutes, okay? So any objection to extending for 15 minutes? Hearing none, we are. Berthold, please finish what you're saying, then I have something to ask you right away.
And I'd like to be on the stack after Serene, please.
Okay.
So basically the pension, we don't know what that is. I know what that is. That was a number given to me by Sam Ogwell. I can forward you the email if you want, Paul. And then there was never any follow-up, so I accrued it in obviously I responsibly accrued it, but I don't know what it means, and so we need to follow up with NEDA.
Okay, yeah. So Berthold,
mm-hmm.
You're not done yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
That's it. All right, so this is the pension, the 61 grand pension. This is from the time of Sam Agarwal, which is a while ago. Have you asked interim executive directors or executive directors exactly what that is? And have you not gotten a response, or have you not asked them, or what?
I probably did ask, but, there was a lot of melee going on at Pacifica. I did ask NETA. I believe they were addressing and looking at pensions. They had a whole team looking at HR and pension. They had pension issues at KPFK or KPFA. They were, they had to, I think they had to, obviously our pension is a lot lower than anybody else's. But they had to, union issues, I believe, on the West Coast, and then they had to show that they were occurring
right,
business
for here,
general stuff.
For here, you don't know what it is, so you want
James
Sagerton
was,
and me
yes.
to ask on the NFC for the clarification. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. I will write to NETA later on and see if we can get it before the next NFC meeting. All right?
Okay.
Okay, next person in the stack is Serene Roberts.
Okay, Berthold, hi, thanks. I have two questions.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I'm sort of multitasking, so I didn't hear everything you said. Excuse me if you've already covered this. I saw a report from you of monthly expenses, and it listed consultants, but I did not see... I do not recall seeing Lopate's name on that. Is he no longer being paid?
Oh no, he's on he's on payroll. The consultant.
So what happened What happened between the time he was hired as a consultant and him now being classified as staff? What changed?
What changes HR in the national office, and then the people we have here as consultants have to become on payroll. It's a matter of time and getting this done based on HR, the national office, the consultant that you see on that list, the morning show host and that all that stuff.
I'm sorry, you're saying they're all being converted to staff?
They will have to be, yes.
Okay. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say that this surely cannot be a surprise to you. I want to know when we're going to get serious about observing the union contract about how we hire. I don't expect you to answer that. It's a rhetorical question, but it's not a surprise.
I forgot what I was going to say. I'm in regular communication with the union, and we have those conversations regularly,
Berthold, we've been having these conversations for 20 years. If you hire someone and they work in your space at your direction at hours that you create to do a particular task, we can't keep calling them consultants. They inevitably get reclassified as staff with benefits, you know, and I'm not complaining that I'm not saying people aren't entitled to benefits where they work. What I'm saying is that needs to be factored in when the hire is made, because other issues aside, it screws with the budget if you tell us this person is getting $3,000 a month, and then after health care and life insurance, et cetera, we're paying out, you know,
$3,300
a month. Okay. My other question I'm trying to find. Go ahead, James. Oh, never mind. I found it. And I think you covered it at a time when I wasn't on the phone. It was about the letter of credit. But at some point, I guess there will be a recording of this meeting, and I'll get my answer there. Thank you.
No, the letter of credit is very simple. We have to have a letter of credit for $78,000 to Four Times Square. And we didn't have it. You know, we worked it out. Our money was sent to...
Bertolt, I think we covered that. And she said she'll listen. So we've covered that.